On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go! Tommy Lugauer! Lugie! Last night, if you heard me here on WFAN and, of course, on YouTube as well, last night was about emotion. Last night was about the hysteria, the excitement, the energy, and all that boiling out on the air for me, not only as a diehard Knicks fan, but also doing the job that I always dreamed of doing. So it was just, it was a blur to me. Like, I was driving home last night, and I don't remember one thing I said. I don't remember one thing I did. And then I woke up this morning, and all anybody wanted to talk about was a tight yellow T-shirt that I was wearing. I didn't realize that everybody out there was the fashion police. I didn't realize I was on the red carpet, and I need to be... What are you wearing this evening, Positive Tommy? Well, this is Christian Dior. How fast can you have your bags packed for Milan? I don't say Paris like rich people.
Lugie.
It's a V-neck. It wasn't even that deep of a V. I've gone deeper with that bad boy sometimes. But the T-shirt, and we'll address more of the T-shirt stuff later on. It's T-shirt time, I guess. The T-shirt controversy from last night. But it was a blur. It felt like a dream. You know, I started on the air at 10 o'clock last night, which is right around halftime, through the game, and then obviously till 2 a.m. So I was able to gather more of my thoughts throughout the day. And tonight, of course, will be a night of celebration. It will be a night of, I want to hear from everybody, where you were when this game took place, who you were with, what were your feelings at halftime, did you go to sleep, did you turn the game off, all of those things that go into a game and a moment like last night. Because make no mistake, last night will never be duplicated. The Knicks are going to win the championship. I've been telling you that for quite some time. They're going to win on Saturday night. It's Knicks in five. It's always been Knicks in five. That moment will be just so monumentally special that words can barely describe it. And obviously, the parade will be 3, 4, 5 million Knicks fans and New Yorkers and people from around the globe that move from this great state coming back to celebrate this basketball team that unites us, that we all love. But last night will never be duplicated because we're talking about a 53-year drought. We're talking about 27 years since finals games took place at Madison Square Garden. We're talking about a 29-point deficit. We're talking about the largest comeback in the history of the NBA Finals. We're talking about the cathedral of basketball, the Mecca, Madison Square Garden. A-list celebrities as far as the eye can see. A who's who in the audience. A star-studded night. And that's what makes the Garden so special. Not just the energy, not just the history, not just the electricity, not just because it's the greatest arena in the middle of the greatest arena, the greatest city ever, but also because it's a type of event that brings out A-list celebrities and who acted like all of us, like fans. And you got to see more of a human side to a celebrity. I mean, the look on Jerry Seinfeld's face. I mean, got Taylor Swift dancing around. My guy Ben Stiller. It was insane. McEnroe. Who else was there? Calipari. It was insane. Not just all the regulars, but everybody that showed up for that special night. And everybody that paid thousands and thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of dollars to walk into Madison Square Garden. It was worth every penny. Because you cannot put a price tag on a moment like that. Last night, and I want to use another word here I can't use on the radio, so let's go with euphoric, but you could probably figure out where I wanted to go with that. That's the type of night, especially if you were in that building, that if you bottle that up and you sell it, you'd be a billionaire. Because those are the type of games, those are the types of nights as sports fans that we dream about. And we hope and wish and pray that one day, the team that we love, that we root for, that we put so much time and energy and money and blood, sweat, and tears into, we hope, pray, wish that at some point in our lifetime, we will be a part of something like that. A night, a comeback, a moment at the end of that game that cannot be duplicated. When you consider where it was, who was in attendance, the drought, the fact that this basketball team unites this city. The Knicks go on to win a championship this year, and they will. They win a championship, let's say, even next year or 2 years, or they go on to a dynasty. This one will be the special one. Those will all be great. But at that point, now you're really peacocking. Now you have the best show in town. Now you have the best basketball team in town. There's no longer a drought. Now you are the top dog. You could never duplicate what took place last night because of what's on the line, all the years of suffering, the arena it took place in, the historical nature of the comeback, the play that Anunoby made, which now is on a Mount Rushmore of the greatest plays we've ever seen in New York sports history. Right up there with the Jeter flip play, right up there with the Tyree catch in the Super Bowl. It's a moment that I think should be a statue outside of Madison Square Garden. Anunoby soaring through the air. It gives you goosebumps, it gives you chills just thinking about it, watching that replay, and then living it. Because when I was sitting here, and the reaction is all over social media, and yes, I was wearing a tight yellow shirt. So you get to see not only a tight yellow shirt, but you also get to see my reaction live as it's going on. Oh! And that's just a piece of it there. I'll have what she's having. And as I'm sitting here last night watching that moment, and I'm sure everyone in our audience felt the same way, you literally had an out-of-body experience. It was a situation where, and I was on the air, I'm like, all right, here comes Brunson. He's going to, now he had two bites at the apple. You know, he had the missed shot, and then De'Aaron Fox with the all-time boneheaded decision to not take that ball and pull it out and try to get fouled because the Knicks have to foul, and you have an opportunity to put the Spurs up by three, which the Knicks would have won the game anyway. I've said this for, and this is why I remain confident with this team night in and night out, and we'll get more into that later, why I was so confident. If you missed it last night, I was saying it throughout the show, and then I tweeted it out, the Knicks are winning this game. I'll lay out all the reasons why I'm confident in this team night in and night out, but if you are a loyal listener to this show, and if you've heard me over the last week or so, I've pretty much laid out all those reasons, and oh, by the way, they've all come into fruition. But as I'm watching this, it was an outer body experience. It was like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, when the weasels, they laugh too hard and their soul kind of leaves their body. If you don't stop laughing, you're going to die. Whatever the line is that Christopher Lloyd has. By the way, are we allowed to think that Jessica Rabbit's hot? Is that cool? I don't know if that's like, he makes me laugh. She is. She's a cartoon, but how you doing? Where was I?
Oh, hi there.
I'm completely now distracted and thrown off. As great as a win that was last night, as great as a celebration it's going to be for this Knicks championship, now all I'm thinking about is Jessica Rabbit and how hot she is. Well, it is a biggie because now I have to start thinking with a different head. Now, what I will say here is, as I'm watching it, it was an outer body experience. And I'm watching this without the sound. So I went back today, relived everything with the sound, the whole situation, and I want to touch on this real quick because it's something that I've talked about a lot on this show, and that is the fact that Mike Breen went on the Roommates podcast hosted by Brunson and Hart, and he talked about busting out a triple bang, And I'm paraphrasing the conversation, but he said, you know, you guys make the finals, you know, game-winning shot to win the whole thing. That's a perfect place to unveil the first ever triple bang. You know, we all know the single bang. We even know the double bang. We even got a premature bang this playoff run, which, listen, it happens to all guys. It's unfortunate. You don't want it to happen, but it does happen. You get a premature bang every once in a while. But we haven't gotten that triple bang. And I wonder out loud, if Brunson had hit that shot, that three-point shot, would that have been the triple bang? When you consider the comeback, Madison Square Garden, Jalen Brunson, ball in his hands, he knocks down that three, game is over. How do you not go with the triple bang? Bang! 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 And Breen Moore went with a good, good, good. We'll get the call up in a little bit. Connor will play for you. Not this segment, but we'll tease it for later because we'll do a deeper dive in it. But it's just a sidetrack here. And we'll be all over the place. My brain is just going at a hyper speed here. All right, kid, don't get cocky. I don't know if you're going to get a bigger moment than that. That felt like, and who am I to say, Mike Breen, I'm saying this with love, obviously. I wonder if Mike Breen in the back of his mind is thinking, that should have been the triple bang. Even the tip-in. Because that play, when we think back to this team and Knicks in 26 and this championship, we're going to think about that Anunoby play. Because I think the Knicks are going to smoke them in game 5. I think it's going to be much of the same. That's been the script. Series clinching games. The Knicks have rolled. They boat raced. Belt the ass. I think you're going to see that on Saturday. This is a young Spurs team. Maybe they're too young and dumb to realize what just happened to them. And maybe they come out in front of their home crowd and they give a great performance and the Knicks have to battle back again and it's another thriller. Absolutely on the table. And then in that situation, you can get that triple bang. But if the Knicks roll and it's a 40-point victory, there isn't going to be that moment for the triple bang unless it's at the end of the game. Knicks win a championship. Bang, bang, bang. Which will still be very special because you get the triple bang. But I wonder out loud if Brunson had made that three, is that the triple bang? And if Mike is feeling like, oh, man, that Anunoby tip-in, that's an iconic. Think about it. That's a play that's going to be replayed over and over and over and over again forever. Because I believe the Knicks and always have believed that they're going to win the championship. Look, I talk about the Endy Chavez catch all the time, and I love him, and I love that play. But the bottom line is it doesn't mean anything. The Mets lost that series, and then they won that series. They would have won the World Series. So that play, as great as it was, it doesn't have the same type of lure that this Anunoby play is going to have. So to have the triple bang with it would have been perfect. But hopefully you get an exciting game, and that's the opportunity for the triple bang in the clincher. But to me, last night, that was an out-of-body experience. And speaking of OG Anunoby, the trade for OG Anunoby, and I was on the air when it happened, and I bring that up because I remember that day vividly. I remember where I was when I got the news. I remember hosting a show here on WFAN. It was a Saturday later on that evening. And I remember how excited and how thrilled I was with this acquisition because I felt like Anunoby was a perfect fit with Jalen Brunson. Plus, the Knicks desperately needed a wing defender, a guy that's an awesome two-way player. And OG Anunoby has been the difference maker for this team ever since he arrived. When he is healthy, the Knicks are a totally different team. And their win-loss record, compared to when he's on the floor or not on the floor, is stark. The difference. He's that important. And he has morphed into Kawhi Leonard. And he should win the MVP. That's how great he's been on both ends of the floor. And he has the signature moment in this series. Brunson has been good. He hasn't been great. And when you think back on this series, because I think it's going to be a blowout on Saturday, we'll all remember that one game and that one moment, and we'll always remember OG Anunoby. But when you look at that trade, to me, it's right up there with the greatest trades in New York sports history. It's up there with Messier. It's up there with Paul O'Neill. I don't know what we consider the Babe Ruth situation as far as if that's considered a trade or what the whole deal is, but obviously a Babe Ruth, anytime you have his name in a conversation, it's Babe Ruth. Gary Carter. Guys that were traded for, brought to New York, and brought championships. And now OG Anunoby is right there with all of those trades as one of the greatest trades in New York sports history. And I know, look, statues, it's always a tricky situation, and it's always a very sensitive thing, and I get it, the history of the Knicks, and they don't, you know, you want Willis out there, you want Clark, I get all that. I'm just saying, you're talking about, and ask somebody that lived through all this, last night was as special a night as any Knicks fan has ever seen, including Knicks fans who saw the championship years, who saw the glory years. Because of the nature of that comeback, because of the excitement and the energy that this team that we love, they're beloved in this great state and this great city of New York. They are just absolutely folk heroes. And when you consider the drought, and you consider everything that this franchise and fan base has been through and has suffered through for decades, and how much this championship means to all of us. To me, that moment, that tip-in, to have Anunoby soaring through the air, I would love to see it immortalized outside of Madison Square Garden. Because you know people are going to get tattoos of it. There'll be murals. There'll be paintings. If there are posters still, there'll be posters. And it's a moment that will forever be drilled and ingrained in our memories. And so will this team. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Nick in Mayopack. It's Positive Tommy here in prime time after hours. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, Loogie. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just want to say this might be a hot take. However, I think them losing game three did them good in game four. I know there was that controversy with the officials, but guess what? The history of sports. There's always controversy with officials. We got to deal with it.
Yeah, and I love your take there too, by the way, Nick, with what you just said with the officials, because I never get involved, and I understand a lot of fans love to get in, you know, the officials this, the officials that, and I don't get in that because, like you said, you see it across all the major sports. You see it in a soccer. It's just the officiating is what it is. You have to rise above it, and the Knicks so far in this series have done exactly that.
Exactly, and we saw that in Game 4. They carried a little bit of emotion in the first half. You know, uh-huh. I get it. But, you know, the great players make special plays that create memorable moments. That's exactly what happened in that fourth quarter run.
Yep, and the reason why this team is a championship team is because they get contributions from everybody. Think about how great Jose Alvarado was last night. And this is a guy that grew up in this area, was a Knicks fan, is a Knicks fan, now gets to play for the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. I just knew all along he had that type of DNA that when it came to playoff time, he has that dog in him and he would rise to the occasion. And he had a monster three. He played critical minutes down the stretch.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It allows Brunson to be off ball because Alvarado's a pure point guard, and just everybody to a man on this team and the coaching staff has contributed to this run, this, I think, championship, and it's a special group and one that was built the right way, You know, they didn't lose on purpose. Yeah. They weren't trying to get ping pong balls. It's brick by brick with an, and I've called them this before, an island of misfit toys, because, Nick, it's a lot of guys that people say, oh, this guy's too short, this guy's too soft, this guy is injury prone, yep. this guy is whatever, and it's just a collection of those guys that no one else really valued the way Leon Rose did, but together, they, you know, like, individually, I don't think these guys are necessarily superstars that can but lead a team, but together, they equal a super team.
Exactly. And when I first heard you say that they're a bunch of island of misfit toys, I was like, wow, that is a perfect way to describe this Knicks team. But together, they work.
Yep.
And they are dogs in the fourth quarter, in the second half, and they'll continue to dominate and win that championship final.
Yeah, and while we're on dudes, they're dudes and dogs that do damage. And they never give up, and they always fight, and there's no quit in this team. And they are built for the fourth quarter. They're built for the second half. They're like Greg the Hammer Valentine. I mean, Gorilla Monsoon used to say it all the time. It takes 15 minutes just for the hammer to warm up. Sometimes it takes the Knicks a little bit of time to warm up, but they're always there in the end. And they're closers, they're finishers, and most importantly, they're winners, and in a couple days, they'll be champions. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to George in Bergen County here on After Hours. What's up, George?
Hey, Tommy, how are you?
Great, bro. How you doing?
Great. I got a couple of points about OG I want to throw out there.
Yeah.
I do remember the 1973 Knicks team. Not so much the 1970 team, but still. I think the key to those squads is when the Knicks acquired Dave DeBuscher.
You always hear that, George. Forward. From anybody that was alive in that period, I heard that from my grandfather. I feel like Joe has said it before, you know, that he was the missing link or the player that put him over the top.
100%. And I think OG the same way. Mm. Like last year, right? OG was hurt in the playoffs and then they lost.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah, but same kind of thing. Also, when I saw that shot, I have to admit, I was one of the people who fell asleep. I did not see the second half.
Oh, so you didn't wake up at all?
Crazy.
Oh, boy.
Crazy. No.
Yeah.
No. I went to bed thinking like a negative Evan that, like, okay, I got to do something to change the karma. So I went to sleep. That was it. Then I woke up at 2 a.m. and I was like, oh, my God, they won. But anyway, getting beyond that, also seeing that tip, it reminded me a lot of 1983 North Carolina State when Lorenzo Charles.
Yep.
Grabbed the ball. That's almost immediately what I thought.
Yeah, Jim Valvano running around, the late great Jim Valvano looking for somebody to hug. And that great team, that Wolfpack team that made that historical run, knocking off of Ralph Sampson, that Virginia team. And then obviously, Phi Slammajama in the finals with Akeem Olajuwon and Drexler and that awesome team in Houston, for sure.
Yeah.
And people say, I don't know sports. And I just rattled that off the top of my brain. But I don't know sports.
Look at you.
I don't know sports.
Excellent. You're not that old either. Excellent.
But you know what it is, George? I appreciate the call. I love the NCAA tournament. I love college basketball. And I love sports in general. I'm a historian. But it's funny because that play, which clearly it wasn't, but that play felt like for NC State, like it was drawn up. Oh, that's exactly the way we drew it up. And the OG tip felt like a play that was drawn up. It was almost like the Harlem Globetrotters or the N1 Tour mixtapes, all that stuff, where Jalen's like, all right, dude, I'm gonna be short on my three. I'm going to get double-teamed, so there's going to be less defenders underneath the basket. OG, you're going to start here. Now I need you to run. As soon as I let the ball go, run here. Like, they drew it up in the playground. That's what it looked like. Now, I don't think that's exactly what they were going for, but it worked out that way. It was like a movie. It was like watching a basketball movie in the final scene. That's what that moment reminded me of. And it was an outer body experience. I was on the air when it happened. I just had a guttural response to it. And I'm trying to like gather my thoughts. What did I just see? What are we watching? Because I figured, all right, we're going to get the Brunson three, like we always do. Probably get a triple bang from Breen. Wrap the game up. And the series is over in five. But he missed. And the ball, much like the Halliburton shot in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And speaking of, think about how many things have gone wrong for this Knicks team through the years, but this recent run, bounces that didn't go their way. Now all the bounces are going their way. Think back to game one of the Eastern Conference Finals of this year. Merrill, that three is halfway down. You got the premature bang from Mike Breen. That would have ended it. Wemby in game two misses a shot. And now here we are, whether it's the ball that gets loose and De'Aaron Fox ultimately ends up recovering it and then gets blocked by OG Anunoby, which was a great block by OG. Not only the tip-in, but the block. Now it's just an idiotic decision by De'Aaron Fox. Imagine he was on the Knicks. We'd want him run out of town. That's how dumb that was. And he's supposed to be the veteran presence on this team, and that was just stupid. Like, I get you're fast. First of all, you're not as healthy as you've been in the past. Like, you're banged up. And you are super fast, but that isn't the moment to try to do that. You have to foul. You have to pull the ball. But you know what? The Spurs not being able to execute down the stretch has been to the Knicks' advantage. So let them keep screwing up down the stretch. Although I don't think it's going to matter in game five because I think the Knicks run them out of the building. But that ball, if it doesn't bounce all the way down the court, let's just say there isn't a deflection and the Spurs just grab it, they get fouled. And they hit two free throws. I still think the Knicks win the game, but it's an example of the bounces going their way. The Spurs not grabbing a rebound there or boxing Anunoby out. The little things. Sometimes you need the football to stick to the helmet. Sometimes you just need that. And when you can get that, when the sports gods are on your side, and they should be after 53 years, they've ignored us for decades. But they've been smiling on the Knicks for weeks now, and they continue to do that. And when you can couple a group like this, a squad like this, with so many beloved players, and you have a run like this, with at times it's been dominant, at times it's been historical, and at times it's been edge of your seat moments you'll never forget. When you have all of that, and you couple in the fact that it's 53 years, you couple in the fact that this is the one team that unites us. The one team. We know when it comes to Mets fans and Yankee fans, there'll never be peace. The three hockey teams around here, it is sports war waged between those three teams as far as their fan bases. Football, less hatred between the two, but we are divided. And then there's basketball. And that is the Knicks. And it unifies us all. And you could see it in the streets. You could hear it at all the bars and restaurants. On all the trains and planes and automobiles that populate this great city. The Knicks will always, when they are this great and they are having this type of run, they will always dominate the landscape. And we've been waiting so long to get back to this.
Let's go Knicks.
And if you're a Knick hater, this is tough. Believe me, I've been on the wrong side of this a lot in my life. I'm 40 years old, so I was growing up in the 90s with the Yankees as a Met fan. We want to go to high school and middle school with that stuff going around? Not easy. Not easy. So if you're a hater of the Knicks, last night is sports hell for you. It's sports hell.
Let's go Knicks.
Because you as the hater are thinking the winning streak for the Knicks over, game three went to the Spurs, and now here we have San Antonio, who you could argue late in game two, they flipped the switch, now they have the Knicks number, they figured it out. The Knicks are going to be the only team that went up 2-0 as far as winning games on the road in the series in the finals to lose that series. All the things are lining up for a historical meltdown. 2-2, going back to San Antonio, and you're feeling great about it because a dominating win, even if the Knicks got a close to like 15 or 12 and whatever, it's still, they won by double digits. You as a Knick hater would be feeling quite good about yourself. And my fellow Knick fans would have been panicking. And I already had my positive Tommy speech written out for everybody, but it's because it's accurate in my brain and this is the way I feel. If this series was tied up 2-2, and thankfully it's not, let's wrap it up on Saturday. We'll have the parade early next week when it's going to be 70 degrees, which is beautiful parade weather. Even if this series was tied up going to San Antonio, I would have supreme confidence in the Knicks for several reasons. Everything that I've laid out before this series started as to why I think the Knicks are going to win the championship, more experience, more depth, a better finisher and closer, best player on the court, really, is Jalen Brunson, as far as what he can do in the fourth quarter. The Spurs are not ready for this moment. They're not ready to win a championship. They are inexperienced because of their young players, their coach, who's had a brutal series. They're not ready for this type of crowning achievement.
We clearly weren't the most hungry in the second half.
And also, home court doesn't mean anything. It's not the 80s. It's not the 90s. It's not the 70s or 60s where home court meant everything. If you had it, if you had a game 7 in your building, you were going to win 9 times out of 10. Now, it doesn't mean anything. The modern game, which a lot of people, and I'm sure we won't hear from that, because how many phone calls have we got? I hate the modern NBA. Really? Well, you should love the modern NBA because the Knicks are taking advantage of the modern NBA because you're going to see crazy comebacks like this because of the three-pointer. I mean, the Pacers did it all the time last year, including to the Knicks. The Knicks, in under 8 minutes, came back from 22 points. 29 last night. The three-pointer is an equalizer for these type of leads. Home court doesn't mean anything, so you could throw out all the conventional wisdom when it comes to this stuff. I don't care what you've seen throughout your life. Go by what your eyes are telling you now in basketball. Not what you watched in the 90s, not what you watched 6 years ago, what you're watching now. And the league that I'm watching now is no leads are safe. At any point, a team... We watched this Knicks team go on 11-0, 15-0 runs in a minute. In a minute! So how could they not cut into a 27-point deficit with 2 quarters? And home court doesn't mean a damn thing. Which is why I'm not sweating a Game 5 in San Antonio. And we'll see how many Spurs fans show up. I know it's a proud franchise with great fans, but Knicks fans are going to invade that building just like they've invaded all the other buildings this year. And it will be a very pro-Knicks crowd. And as I pointed out before this series started, the Knicks and we as Knicks fans, we just want it more.
We clearly weren't the most hungry in the second half.
And the Knicks were. And they've shown that time and time again in this series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Loogie here in the late night, or I should say Positive Tommy here in prime time. A 5-hour Lugowski.
The big Lugowski.
That's right. I should have wrote this down. I was all
Lugie evening.
Yeah, I got it. You know what it is? I haven't done one of these in a minute, and I got them all wrong there. Thank God Connor's here, because when Connor's not here, and I don't remember all my catchphrases, I'm twisted in the wind. And it's
Lugie evening.
The producers, the backup producers, and people like Rosenberg who are useless, it's nothing against them. It's just Connor is always here to back me up. I am like Jalen Brunson, and he is like Ananobi.
No biggie.
9 out of 10 times, I'm going to hit the game-winning shot. But that one time that I don't, Connor is there to tip the ball in. So he is there to remind me and you, the audience, all of the, I don't like to use the word shtick, but all of the catchphrases and all
Luke
the...
Luke evening.
That's right. So hopefully everybody out there is having a very pleasant Luke evening as we get settled in here and take a seat. Gather around. Another 4.5 hours here on a big Lugowski. Gotcha till midnight, so plenty of time to take your...
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Calls, reaction to not only Game 4, but how you're feeling during that moment last night, how you're feeling right now as a Knicks fan, and Game 5, obviously, being Saturday night in San Antonio, as the Knicks are 1 win away from their first championship in 53 years. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. We'll get back to your calls right after this.
Nobody's left. Party's just begun.
Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer.
Loogie.
And hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant Loogie evening as we roll through a big Lugowski, a five-hour after hours, taking you up till midnight. So if you missed my show last night or what I tweeted out or some of the takes that I had during the game, I'm going to walk you through why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And that was, I was supremely confident that the Knicks were going to win the game. Even when they were down 27, when they were down 29, when they're down 15, I was supremely confident. And here's my thought process, and here was my thought process last night. And if you've listened to the show and you're a loyal listener, it's going to be a lot of the themes that you've heard over and over and over again. And that is, this Knicks team has so much fight. They will not die. You know, this reminds me of those 90s Yankees teams. This reminds me of just those championship DNA teams that I don't care if you're up 9 runs, I don't care if you're up 40 points, and I've said it over and over again. The Knicks could be down 50, they could be down 10, they could be... I have full belief that they're going to come back. Because they have the best finisher in the sport, they have a ton of heart, they have a ton of experience, they have a ton of 3-point shooters that can get you back in a game. No lead is safe against them. So that's the overall reason why I'm always confident in them. As far as last night in particular, and I understand you can get caught up in what you're watching and it's an onslaught and an avalanche by the Spurs, but if you look deeply into what was happening in that first half, the Spurs didn't miss a shot. And San Antonio, throughout these playoffs, they'll have nights where they shoot the lights out and they have nights where they can't hit a shot. So my thought process was, there's going to be market correction. As great as they were in the first half, now they ended up being equally as bad in the second half. Perhaps I didn't think that extreme, but I knew they were going to miss some shots. They weren't going to shoot 80% the entire night. And that was going to open the door for the Knicks. And the Knicks are like the, you know, that annoying little friend that you have that just won't go away. And you try to swat them away, and they just keep coming. They fight. They're like a little pit bull terrier. Wolverine. And the Spurs, who have been up double digits in every game so far this series, they just want to put the Knicks away, and they can't. And in that third quarter, San Antonio, laissez-faire, much like the Cavs were in that 22-point lead in the Eastern Conference Finals in Game 1, they were just, let's chuck up some threes. And then when they realized, oh, crap, we might be in trouble, now let's start giving the ball to Wemby in the low block. Wemby was clearly tired and gassed by the end of the game. The Spurs were shook by the crowd and by the comeback. And it's one of those situations where until you are playing this Knicks team night in and night out, you don't truly understand how special they are and how much grit and toughness and tenacity that they have. They have that championship DNA that has been forged not only through, I believe, the great teams at Villanova and Jay Wright, and that, of course, is Brunson and Bridges and Hart, and we'll get to Josh in a little bit here, who almost had a night that was an all-time disaster. But it's a lot of guys, like I call them the Island of Misfit Toys, that were underappreciated, overlooked, whether it was in the draft, whether it was in college, whether it was in free agency, whether it was throughout the league, that have been, you know, how many bad things have been said about Jalen Brunson in the national media? How many bad things have been said about Karl-Anthony Towns in the national media? These are not the golden boys. These are not the handpicked guys by the gatekeepers that are going to be the new face of the league. The Spurs are supposed to be that. The Spurs are supposed to be the dynasty. And then you look at this Knicks team and you start to see them in the same category and doing the same things that dynastic teams have done. Teams that have won multiple championships. Forged through heartbreak, playoff disappointment, and defeat. And the weight of this city on their shoulders, this team will not be denied. And I've said it over and over and over again. You might beat them once, you're not beating them 4 times. So yeah, down 27, down 29, down 15, I believe this team is going to come back. And I also believe the Spurs are not ready for this. One of their best players was 19 most of the season, and he's a great one. Dylan Harper, obviously son of Ron Harper, Don Bosco, Rutgers. He is incredible. He really should be their finisher, quite frankly. Wemby, I don't know if he has the stomach for this, but Harper does. I'm not so sure about this Wemby yet. Athletically and as far as his deep, all that stuff, but he might be one of these guys that needs somebody else to have the big moment, and he'll just stand there. Because when he got to the free throw line late in a clutch moment, he was gutless. And in the final seconds of game two, he was gutless. So perhaps he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to be that guy that the league wants him to be. But guys like Castle and Harper, they have it. They have stones. I'm not sure if Wemby does. Maybe he'll grow them. But the Spurs are too young for this moment. The moment is too big for them. And yeah, their athleticism and their greatness, and they have a hot shooting half, they can get a big lead and make you look real bad. But the Knicks are used to this. They're used to the playoff wars, having a big lead and blowing it, coming from behind. And I'm sorry, maybe we've watched different basketball teams over the last couple of years, but do we remember game one and two in Boston last year? Big comeback victories. Do you remember game one in the Eastern Conference Finals this year against the Cavs? Big comeback victory. Do you remember those? Because I do. So yeah, when they're down 20 plus points, I think they can come back. Because I've seen it. .  is the phone number to call. It is Daniel in Staten Island, the Shaolinland. And shout out Staten Island, the Wu-Tang Clan. Obviously great luck there at halftime. Ooty-ooh! You know, performing
you
at
doing,
the Garden
Tom?
And then leading us to victory there. I'm doing good, Dan. What's up?
I just want to say you're absolutely right about all these moments, like, going our way. And, like, the first thing I think of you just mentioned is Wemby missing those two free throws. Like, how can the media paint him as, like, the next LeBron, like, this crazy alien we've never seen? And you can't hit two free throws in that spot? Come on, you can't tell me.
Well, maybe he is the next LeBron because LeBron can't hit clutch free throws either.
That's true, but you think LeBron is missing both there if we're playing him? I don't think so.
Probably not, but I will say this about Wemby, and I took a couple shots at him there. We'll see, because he is a young player, and he's showing his immaturity in the series, and he's going to have to eat a lot of crow for his antics, but he might be that guy. But here's the bottom line. He's got a guy on his team. I think Harper is going to ultimately be that closer and finisher and stud for them, because he just seems like he's a great talent.
Yeah, he's
and not
great.
That Wemby isn't, but you know what? Wemby might not be the guy late in games that you lean on if you're the Spurs. But yeah, I think that inexperience for San Antonio and not having that clear-cut, defined finisher. And also, too, Daniel, you're relying on De'Aaron Fox to be a veteran, and he had one of the most boneheaded, brain-farted moves I've ever seen.
Horrible!
What are you thinking in that spot?
The thing is, like, also, how do you not put Dylan Harper in the game for most of that fourth quarter? It's like, what I don't understand, like, he's just, I don't know, they make no sense. And what I wanted to mention is, like, I'm wearing my Rangers shirt right now.
Well, I would just say this.
Might not be a Rangers fan, but
Mitch Johnson has just had a horrible series. I mean, he has gotten exposed. Another guy, not a lot of experience. Maybe
that's
he'll be a great coach,
exactly.
But he has been lost in this series.
Yes. And what I wanted to say, like, no quit in New York, like, that really means something. Like, every championship we ever got, we got it the hard way. Like, we never, like, it was not maybe for the Yankees sometimes back in the day. I'm too young for that. But when I think about the Giants, like, when you think about the Rangers, when you think about all these teams in New York, like, it never comes easy, like, all our moments. So it was just great. That was the best moment I ever witnessed in New York sports history. So
yeah,
that was amazing.
Yeah, Daniel, and I appreciate the call, bro. And as a fan, and I saw the Giants Super Bowls, the Tyree catch. I put the last night up above it. I'm telling you, because when I think about the drought and what this basketball team means and that comeback, it was of the likes that we'll never see again. You can't duplicate that. You can't. And then you factor in Madison Square Garden and all that, and whether you like the celebrities there or not, it does add to the pageantry and the moment and the height of what it is. It was just a very, 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 very unforgettable evening. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. A big Lugowski, a five-hour After Hours. Plenty of time to take your calls. I see everybody lined up there. We'll get to... I know a lot of people want to talk to Positive Tommy, and I got a lot of time here to talk to you. Another 4 hours. So line up now, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It's the place you want to be. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. After Hours here on The Fan.
Next win! Next win!
Yes!
Let's go!
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.